Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium with your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, pump up your energy. Welcome to Parent Pump Radio. Go to parentpumpradio.com to leave your questions, comments, and any suggestions for future shows, and be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed for you to automatically be notified of new shows. We're looking for guests both for our Teen to Parent Talk series and our Parent Pump Radio series. So if you are an expert or you're credentialed because of your life experience or something relating to parenting, contact us. And if you know someone that is between the age of 18 to 23 who would just like to share their story, their journey, their insights, please contact us at parentpumpradio@gmail.com and tell us a little bit about the story. Our guest today has over 25 years of experience as an educator, as a trainer, as an empowerment family and life coach. She's also a speaker and a certified access consciousness facilitator. She's also the owner and practitioner of Simple Strategies for Family Living. She has taught special education children for over 18 years, so she understands children. And right now she just coaches parents to how to utilize strategies that really empower their current parenting skills, which really in turn empowers the children and create a much better and greater world for all of us to live in. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Mary Dravis Parrish. Hi, Mary.
Hello. How are you, Jacqueline?
I am doing great. I'm so enjoying this beginning of 2018. How are you feeling about it?
I'm pumped up.
Yeah, me too.
I am about lots of great possibilities in store for this year, I believe.
Yeah, I really feel this is a powerful year. I mean, as soon as it switched over, I really felt the power and energy behind it. So to get into you, because you sent me your bio and I was reading it. I come from a family of five girls. I have four younger sisters. And I thought that was a lot. People were always amazed when I say there's five of us girls. But then you now come from a home of eight children. So you completely have beaten me. How was it like to live in a home with eight kids?
Well, you know, when you grow up in something like that, it's your norm.
Yeah.
I was the oldest girl. I had two older brothers and one younger brother and then four sisters below him. And so there were five girls in our family as well. So we have a little bit of a match there. I think I really connected to that desire to be a mom from a pretty early age, having so many younger siblings. And then, of course, we were very much into playing school and education. And so it wasn't a surprise that I went into teaching kids with special needs. My younger brother had some learning difficulties. And so I can just see, looking back on my childhood and growing up, how it prepared me for much of what I have done in my past and continue to work towards in creating more ease and joy in families.
Yeah.
So it's been a journey. Yeah.
I agree with you. I think when you have that many kids in the family, you, like you are the oldest girl. I was also the oldest girl and the oldest. So you do tend up taking on a more of a caregiver role and being a teacher and teaching the younger ones. And so it makes sense that we're both in this medium where we're sharing what we learn as a trainer, as a teacher, as a coach.
Exactly, yeah.
And then you also went on to become a teen parent. That is probably a story in itself, right?
You know, I think that there's kind of some different aspects of ourselves, not probably what cognitively or in the moment I wanted to really do with my life, but also on a bigger scale, knowing that I would always be a mom. It wasn't a big surprise to me. And I wasn't quite finished with high school. But yet I also see it as it was kind of a way out for me because I didn't know what else I wanted to do with my life. And so I kind of surrendered to, well, I'll be a mom. And as a teenager and watching my parents and feeling pretty confident about being able to raise a child, I was pretty cocky about it until the baby showed up. And then it was like, ah, oh my gosh, what do you do? all those things entered in, like, oh, all the fears, the worries, the doubts, you know, how do you make them stop crying? All those things. I totally like disconnected from myself in that process, being so young and not really knowing that, oh, you know, you do have this. You've just got to reconnect and know how to access what you do know about your child.
Yeah. And back then, I'm sure there wasn't as many resources as parents as there is now. So it's that much harder.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and all the resources that there were, and of course, my way of being was to ask the experts and then do whatever they say, whether that's really going to work or not, not really knowing how to tune into myself and what I know and my own intuition and my own knowing, didn't know how to do that. And I can see where, you know, turning all of my power and all of my knowing over to somebody else really didn't work all that well for me in the early years of raising my kids.
Yeah.
That's what I really want to bring to parents, is that place where you can acknowledge who you are and step into this place called Be You Parenting, where you don't have to do what everybody else does. You know, if there's a sense that that would be what's best for you, fine, but you don't have to.
Yeah, I think as parents, sometimes we doubt so much our decision, and then we listen to experts and we dismiss our intuition when that is the place that we want to end with. Listen to what people are saying, take it as information, but then go within yourself and decide, hey, should I make another appointment for another, you know, doctor to see my child or whatever it is?
Right. Yes.
In your bio, you have experience as a single parent, as a co-parent, and as a step-parent. I think you've just covered all kinds of parenting there.
Well, and pretty soon I'm going to be a grandparent too, okay. So I'll be able to add that to it as well.
Now, which one, if there is any, was more challenging?
They all brought different challenges. And, you know, I will say that in my life, the time that I was with my husband for the longest period was probably the most difficult, because it was the time when I really lost connection to who I am, mm-hmm. and what my beliefs were about having a family and trying to make everybody happy. I would say those years were probably the most difficult for me in that sense of co-parenting. The others brought their own challenges of how do I do this by myself, or how do I do this with somebody else and somebody else's children. But I would say that those years were probably the most difficult for me.
What do you think, out of being all those kinds of parent, is, you would say, the biggest lesson that you would share with a new mom or a mom that's struggling?
To trust yourself and what you know, and also to trust that your child knows. So often I felt like I had to know everything. And if there's a failure, which I don't really consider them failures, but they're learning experiences. But my biggest learning experience, I think, was being able to acknowledge that my kids know things about their own lives, and that when I ask questions and when I am willing to get that information from them, it can actually contribute to making my job a whole lot easier.
Very good insight.
And it can help me know more of what choices I have and what choices would work out best for us.
Wow. Very good insight. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, one other thing that I share with you is, you say that your son had committed suicide, and my sister actually committed suicide when she was 30, and I was 5 months pregnant with my daughter. And I think that loss, for me, I want to say, I kind of went down, but then through that, it also gave me inspiration. How was it for you?
Yeah, that was, you know, it's a bittersweet thing of, it was a turning point for me. It was a place for me to really begin to look at my life differently, from the aspect of, what am I living this life for? What does it mean to be a parent? Where do I go from here? Kind of like everything crumbles out from under you. As I pick up each piece, I begin to then make that process of what's working and what's not working for me. And it's like getting a whole new slate and creating your life all over, which is the gift that came from all of that. So it is a bittersweet thing, but I think it is how each person decides to make it into something greater. is the choice we all have.
Yep, I agree. You're speaking to the choir right there. So you're a native of Colorado, and you currently live in Fort Collins with your husband, Steve. Shout out to Steve. And I love that you enjoy reading and hiking and biking and needlework and keeping caught up with activities of your older children. Hopefully one day I will have enough time to do all of that.
It's been a matter of just like making some different choices about the things that would really contribute to my life other than work. And I know that kids take a lot of time, and it will happen.
Yeah. You say you're a certified facilitator in Access Consciousness. What is that?
Access Consciousness is an organization that focuses on tools for change. And it was really those tools that opened me up into a different way of being after my son had died. And I was exploring and looking for what was really true for me. And it really helped me connect to that. And so it was my desire to pursue classes and certification in that work so that I could bring those tools to parents and to individuals who are also searching for connecting to what's true for them and to having the capability to choose for themselves the life that they would like to create.
Oh, that's wonderful. So listener, Mary has equipped hundreds of parents and children with her simple strategies that have empowered families to thrive, have less chaos, and even more confident. Her program is about being you. So applying her Be You parenting strategies, trainings, and tools, she facilitates change in people's lives. They have more confidence, awareness, joy, and just fun in all areas of their living. So let's get into the subject for today. 3 tips on how to end yelling, demands, and disrespect. I love this. What's the most common complaint or issue that your clients are telling you?
Yeah, well, you know, it falls along those lines of yelling, demands, and disrespect. Okay. So much that parents are often feeling the pressure of demands of raising a family in this day and age in so many different ways, from how do they raise their kids with technology to how do, you know, we manage routines that work for all of us. There's just seems to be an overwhelm of demands that are placed on them. They often are not happy with the way that they react to their children, which can often result in yelling. And knowing that that's not the way that they want to respond to their kids, but not able to really change it. And so I do get parents who come to me specifically looking to change that. And then the last is that so many parents just feel like they do so much for their kids and their kids don't appreciate them. And on the flip side, I've even had parents say that they don't often even show respect to their kids. And so that whole disrespect thing goes both ways, yep. Goes both for parents and for kids.
Yeah. I grew up in a family where, you know, it's top down. I come from a military family, so very military thinking. The top knows the best. The top tells you what to do, and it just trickles down that way. Any kind of respect, you have to respect them. It doesn't go back. So I can see that being an issue if it's not a two-way street.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if these issues continue, how do you think it's going to affect the relationship of a parent and the child?
Well, I think there's a number of ways that it affects it. Of course, initially, it's going to build greater distance between you and your child if you have these issues going on. It also can instill beliefs in the children that create even more dis-ease in their lives. If you have a parent who's always yelling at their child, you know, depending on how the child receives that, it may affect their own self-worth. Mm-hmm. And how they view themselves, whether they feel that they can never do anything right. It may cause them to, in the future, just always shrink from anger and yelling. Mm-hmm. And so they build this automatic response to it. So that's just an example of how children take how we respond and react to them and set a core set of beliefs about it that develop their patterns and how they navigate through life. So I think that, and I think if a parent continues to feel discouraged or overwhelmed or exhausted, the kids pick up on the message of resentment also, and that they always seem to go to that they're the problem. Mm-hmm. And that, again, doesn't contribute to their sense of worth and value in who they are. So it can be very problematic.
You and I say yelling, but When we think of yelling, we think of volume. We're raising volume. But don't you agree that it's also about the tone, it's about the body language, it's about how you're looking at your child that also can contribute to that?
Oh, absolutely, right. And usually through those things, what's really being communicated is a source of judgment.
Yeah.
About how you're communicating with your child, your judgment about who they're being, what they're choosing to do, their behavior, whatever it is. And that's very problematic too, whenever we place judgment on anyone.
So it's about that energy, your intent, the meaning of it, and less so about, oh, well, I didn't raise my voice, because I'll hear parents say that. Well, I don't raise my voice with my children. I'm like, well, I'm not talking about volume. What's the intent and energy behind it? How are you feeling about it? Because the child can pick that up easily.
Absolutely, yes. They're very in tune to what's really going on. And they also know what you're doing doesn't match the energy. Like if you're saying something, it doesn't match the energy, they pick that up, and that's pretty conflicting for them too.
Most parents know what needs to change. I think we innately know we do, and how they react to their children. They still struggle with that, making that change. What do you tell the parents that you help that will give them some sort of answer, some hope, or some ways that they can change?
Well, I think a lot of it is really about the three steps that we're going to talk about as they apply them to themselves. It's about getting to know where these reactions, these responses are coming from, and knowing that they're founded also in our own core beliefs and things that we've picked up along the way, how much we're trying to fit in with what we think a parent is supposed to do. But the real hope comes in knowing that you can release and let go of all of that, that you have the power to change and to do different. And when you have the support and the encouragement to be able to do that, along with the skills and tools, it really becomes possible in a very short period of time.
Have you had parents where they come in and they're like, change my children. My children disrespect me. They don't talk to me in a proper manner. It's them. How do you make the parents see that it's not just about changing your children? It's also about changing you, having them let go of that grip that it's also they have a part in it.
Yeah. And apparently there's some kind of knack I have, because this is why people call me the parent whisperer. But I seem to have a very gentle way of being able to turn that around to say something like, and when your child is disrespectful to you, where do you feel that in your body? And then from that point, and what other times have you felt this in your body? And I try to take them down a course of acknowledging how much respect do they have for themselves. And because if you don't have a respect for yourself, you're like a blinking neon light saying, disrespect me, disrespect me.
Yeah.
And your kids pick up on that because you're not showing them that you respect yourself. And so if you're causing abuse to yourself by disrespect, people will just continue to do that. And so when our kids do that, it's almost a call for stop and look inside, and how much respect am I showing for myself?
All of us have things that happened to us in our childhood with our parents and what happened that we bring into our relationship as a parent to our child. Do you suggest going back to that place and seeing how you were treated as a child and seeing how much you take that into as a parent?
Yeah, but I do it from a place of, let's just acknowledge that this is what's going on. This isn't the place to place judgment on your parents for what they did or
right.
didn't do.
Absolutely.
It is about acknowledging what you didn't get, or how you perceive things, or how you received it. And, you know, depending on the situations, it could be a place where we have to go in and maybe heal that somewhat. But oftentimes it can be pretty easy of just acknowledging it, acknowledging that you can now create something different. You can come from a different place. Let's just give you some different tools of how to respond differently.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm anxious for the three secrets. So what are the three secrets that address these issues of yelling demands and respect, and what makes them a secret?
Okay, so I'm going to start. They're the ABCs, so they're really easy to remember. A is for acknowledgement. Just real briefly, acknowledgement is about what is going on, what's working, what's not working, without judgment. That is the key, that we can acknowledge things without having to judge them. So that's acknowledgement. And when we acknowledge ourselves first and foremost, like, again, all these tools are really meant to be applied to the parent, and then you can apply them to your child as well. But if you're not doing them for yourself, it's going to be a lot more difficult to really incorporate it into your sense of being. So that's where all this BU parenting comes in. So you might just acknowledge the things that you do throughout the day, the things that you accomplish, the things that you achieve, and not from an aspect of, oh, I'm so good, but from the aspect of, how was that for you? That really made my day go easier. That made my day harder. That made my day whatever. Okay, and then where do I go from there? So that's acknowledgement. Then we can follow that up with B, and B is be the question. And I put in there, be the question, so that we enter into the energy of curiosity and inquiry, again, without any judgment, but to gain more information, to open the door to more possibilities. If I acknowledge that getting up early and doing my meditation works really well for me, I might follow it up with the question, and what can I do to stay consistent with that? What do I need to be in order to connect to that more fully? That's just an example of following it up with a question. If I did something that didn't work for me, I slept in late today and I didn't get to do my meditation, and now my day is all off. So a question I might ask is, what would I like to do differently? What else is possible to allow me to enter into a choice more freely? That's B, the question. And then C, C is the place that I believe in BU, whatever BU living is about, having the ultimate choice. And that is to choose based on what is going to work best for you, not based on fear or judgment or expectations or what society says you should be doing, but really being able to intuit and know what would work best for you. And so those are the ABCs of empowered parenting, empowered living. And the reason they're secrets is because most of us haven't been brought up with these tools. We're taught not to acknowledge ourselves. We're taught to judge ourselves all the time.
Right. We can't question. We just have to do what people say.
And to choose based.
If someone practices these three secrets, how long would it take to really see a difference in the parent-child relationship?
You know, it's going to vary by relationship to relationship, but I will tell you that I have had parents who have come in for a session, and they've come in their next session like a week later and have told me how much ease it has created and how much difference their children are responding to when their parents acknowledge them without judgment, but also the difference that they feel when they acknowledge themselves, that they feel more empowered, they feel more at ease with their own life. Like, a lot of the things that they complain about kind of just melt away when they stay in acknowledgement of what they have done, and even what they haven't done, from a place of no judgment. So really, yeah. I think it really contributes to reducing the stress that all those demands make.
Yeah. I think it also puts you in a place of listening, because if you're asking questions, then you have to wait to listen for the answer.
Right. And, you know, when I talk about be the question, it's not always about getting an answer. It is about stepping into an awareness of new possibilities, and then being able to choose from those possibilities rather than the answer. Because I know that's one thing that gets people really stuck, is waiting for the right answer. And
the answer, you're right.
There isn't really a right answer.
Yeah. And I think just knowing that, having that feeling that there are more possibility, gives you that exhale feeling like, oh, okay, I have time, or I have choice, and I don't have to do this right now or choose this right now.
Right. I mean, I know that the amount of permission that I've allowed myself to have through these questions has been tremendous. The stress level is way less, that when I just acknowledge, whenever I start shooting, it's like, okay, stop. I could do this. And if I could do this, what would this contribute to my life right now? Is this my best choice right now? I just go right into questions and wait for the energy or the knowing, or what, you know, do what you sense is the thing that's going to be best in the moment.
What does it take to be able to apply these three secrets so that we can be really successful. And do you have any practical tips on how to apply it?
Yes, I do. Because these are not familiar to us, of course, they take practice as it is in developing any new skill or tool. And so learning how best you, each individual, can do that as reminders, like, do I need post-it notes to remind myself? Do I create a journal discipline where every day I acknowledge myself through journaling? Do I get support from a friend, a coach, a group? That can be really helpful. What are some of the visual images? I know for a lot of my clients, when they're first starting out, it's like we develop this image of a stop sign so that when they enter into their old pattern of yelling or worrying or whatever it is, there's a stop sign that they know they can bring up, and it just tells them they can stop and they can breathe and they can then move into, okay, what do I know about this? That would be the acknowledgement. What can I ask about this? What other choices do I have? And then the last thing that I would give is give yourself space to make mistakes, because you will. You're not, people don't get this right away. I mean, I still fall into some of my old patterns, not as often, or when I do, I become more aware and that stop sign comes up a lot faster. And so giving yourself the space to make mistakes and to allow yourself to do do-overs. Like, that wasn't really what I meant to say when you're talking to your child. Can I do that over, please?
Yeah, that's a great one, a do-over. Asking permission for the do-over so that you're acknowledging that you made a mistake and that it's okay and that you are going to make a change. I think so many people say, I'm sorry, but they don't follow it up with change.
Yeah.
And that's really powerful that you just said that.
Well, and when you actually take that action step and do that, there's a reinforcement that comes for your own practice and skill making of that practice, that you actually went back and you redid it. And you get to see the effect on your child and how different that is than what you did previously.
Yeah. So do you have a success story in your practice that you could share with us?
Yeah, I have a mom that I met through one of my monthly lunch and learns here locally, who came to me afterwards and she wanted to work on her issues with yelling. So we've been working together for about a month, but after her first couple of weeks, she came to me and she said, my yelling has really diminished because I'm more focused on acknowledging what's going on and asking those questions. And she said, and I'm not proficient at it, but I know that when I do it, it really makes a difference. And it seems to create a different space to be with my kids. It invites them closer to me than it does in pushing them away. Yeah, in the course of our work together, we've been able to identify some of her own upbringing issues around the yelling and why it's come out so much, and giving her the tools then to do different. One of the best tools I really like about yelling, about self-awareness, is coming into this question of, who am I being when I'm yelling? And that often brings up some awareness of, oh, I sound just like my mom, or I sound like my dad, or, and it's like, oh, okay, so that's who I'm really being. That's not really me. And just that acknowledgement brings in a different awareness and makes a stronger commitment to changing it to something else.
Wow. These are all in your book, Empower Parents, Empowering Kids.
Yes.
Can you just, like, in about a minute, tell us about your book and how it can help parents?
Yes. This is unlike other parenting books where I don't really tell you how to parent. I help you connect to yourself so that you can devise the way that would parent to parent that would work best for you. So there are different skills to go through, and it begins with, what do you believe a parent is and how is that working for you? And then it does include all these other tools that you can apply in the way that would work best for you to open up more communication, to create a deeper bond with your children, but most importantly, to gain your own self-awareness about who you are and how you're choosing to show up in the world.
It's a little custom made for depending on the individual.
Right. There's places in there where you can write your answers and or journal it in another book and then go through it again and then come back and you'll see how you've changed and how perhaps, you know, you have a different perspective of things after you've gone through it the first time.
Awesome. So we have a couple minutes left and I know you're giving a gift to the listener. Tell us about the gift.
Yes, I think there's two gifts. So the first gift is a survey around being an empowered parent. So there's a survey and Jacqueline, you have the link for that, right?
Yep, it's all in the show notes.
Okay, so you can go to those notes and take the survey. You can find, where am I giving my power away through my parenting? And once you submit that, then you'll be taken to a page where it will give you the answers and things that you can do to shift and change that. And then the other gift is an audio recording of the first three chapters of my book, so you can get a flavor of it. And the first few chapters are about that parenting aspect of what your beliefs are about parenting.
Then they can kind of dip their toe in your book before they really want to buy it. And I'm sure that after listening to the first three chapters, they're going to want to buy it.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much, Mary. This has been so informative, learning about where you came from, what motivates you, and what inspires you to do what you do. And the three tips are really something for us parents to think about and start implementing in our life.
Thank you, Jacqueline. It's been a pleasure to share this information.
And listeners, all of the links are in the show notes, Mary's book, her website, email, phone number, and the link to the free gifts. So be sure to go there and check everything out. Until next time, always be learning and always be growing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.